Welcome, listeners, to our, what we're calling these, artists interview.
I don't know. They felt less like interviews and more like us bombarding them.
Yeah, well, it's bombarding them or having a beer with them, either or.
Beer barding them?
Yes. Anyways, listeners, we're going to start off this show with an interview from Josh Warner. This one was kind of fun in particular because we broke into the actual bar at the hotel and kind of just sat in there when no one was there because the doors were wide open.
Fortunately, the booze were locked up.
Yes. Josh is a graphic artist. He's done many DVD covers, posters, and illustrated some
things. Yeah, those two posters that you and Derek got from him were pretty awesome.
Yep. So anyways, sit back, enjoy the show, and we'll be back shortly. Hello, listeners. This is Tony. I am with Derek, as always.
What's up, guys?
We are in the best setting to do this interview because we are in a bar.
But it's closed.
And it's dark in here.
But we just broke in.
Well, it's kind of hard to break in when they don't have a door, but, you know, it works. We are here with Josh Warner from As Fall Leaves, and he's going to talk to us. You guys probably, if you've been to our site, I'm sure you've probably seen his art linked up in our artist alley. So, Josh, welcome to the show officially.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, tell us a little bit about, you know, for the people that haven't seen you yet, a little bit about what you do, what you like to do, you know, kind of give us the background.
Sure. Well, I'm a freelance illustrator. I graduated from the Pennsylvania College of Art and Design with a degree in illustration, and I, within 6 months of graduating, have been doing nothing but illustration full-time. So I'm one of those lucky few artists who got to break in right away.
And get paid.
Yes, and get paid. Yeah, I don't do anything for free. Nothing. So that's good. So
except this interview.
I'm going to repeat that. For anyone out there, I don't do anything for free. I'm not here to draw your tattoo.
So I'm guessing you may have had that.
All the time.
You know, I never even thought about that with artists, how many times people probably ask that.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be really clear. Your tattoo artist gets paid to draw your tattoo. That's part of the fee. So if you hire me to do it, you're going to be paying double. I will charge you whatever he's charging.
Well, you know, come to think of it, though, I mean, when it comes to the tattoos, and this is totally off topic, but this is normally like us anyway. When it comes to tattoos, if you have somebody draw it and then a different person do the actual work, he's now not actually doing his own art. He's trying to copy.
Right, he gets to trace it. Yeah, he just takes it and he lays it right
so
on your skin.
He traces.
He's an inker. Tracer.
Fucking tracers. So now I picked up an awesome exclusive here at Detroit Fanfare, which I don't know if we said that that's where we're at again.
But where we're at.
Yeah, we're live at Detroit Fanfare.
In a bar.
In a bar. In the hotel. And
Planet Earth.
I've only had a couple beers so far. But anyway, you put out this awesome exclusive, like, limited to 50 copies of this book. Tell people about it, because they're going to have to, like, track somebody like me down to actually look at it.
That's true. I have a feeling there's not going to be any left after the con is over. So check eBay. That would probably be your best bet. Yeah, I did a limited run of 50 books. Each one is autographed, signed, and numbered. And there's a drawing of a zombie on the inside cover of each copy. It collects over 100 zombie-related illustrations that I did. That includes all of the sketch cards I did for Unstoppable Cards, Night of the Living Dead trading card set. Also includes all of the Dead World sketch cards I did for the Dead World trading card set from IDW Comics and Bragent Marketing and Gary Reed. It was a lot of fun to work on. I got to kind of explore the characters a lot, and I'm a big fan of the comics, so that's cool. It also has a variety of illustrations I did for DVD covers, all sorts of sketches from various projects, but everything falls under the zombie realm. So it's a good time. You know, a lot of zombie fans who may not know me, but know zombies and are willing to check it out and pick it up.
Yeah. And it is gorgeous stuff. I mean, I told you ahead of time you had to hold one for me. But now, you're, at least I know you more from like the gore art, but yet you also do like a lot of Photoshop type stuff too.
Yeah, I do some digital, yeah.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous. I mean, what do you like doing better?
At the core, I'm a traditional artist. I love getting my hands dirty, but it's my full-time gig is all digital work. So I work in Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator 40 hours a week, and then I spend at least another 20 at home doing the traditional stuff. So I find that I can kind of blend the two in ways where some people don't know the difference anymore. I'm really working towards finding that nice in-between mark where everything says me, regardless of the medium.
Yeah.
Do you have... Oh, sorry.
Go right ahead.
Do you have kind of what you would feel like is your masterpiece so far? Like, what's your favorite thing that you've drawn or illustrated or done?
I don't know if I have a favorite piece. I know I have a favorite genre. I do a lot of horror work, and I get hired for a lot of horror commissions and things like that. And I love doing horror work, especially old school stuff, classic stuff. It was a big honor to get to, you know, do anything officially for George Romero, you know, working on the Night of the Living Dead set, because I've been doing Night of the Living Dead work forever. As some people know, Night of the Living Dead is one of the few great classic films that is in the public domain due to...
Really?
The movie had no one owns the rights to it. So anyone can put out the DVD, which is why you see so many copies of Night of the Living Dead all the time on DVD, because George Romero doesn't own the rights to it anymore.
Wow. I had no idea about that.
It was not... it was a total paperwork mistake thing. Shortly after, he never registered everything on time. The deadline came, and it immediately went into the public domain shortly after it was made. So, yeah, anybody can make the DVDs. So a few years ago, I did a series of DVD covers for a gallery show. The whole idea was I wanted to bring, you know, creature films from the classics out of the public domain to life in big, huge oil paintings. So I did a Night of the Living Dead oil painting, and I also put out and sold DVDs at the gallery show. And later on, this turned into a thing of mine. I ended up doing last year a big show called the Creature Feature Show, where it was my own gallery show full of original artwork, all based on public domain horror films. And I sold DVDs of those public domain horror films, because you can legally do that. And they were all my own DVDs that I made myself, all professionally done. They had, not only did they have the film on it, but it also had a gallery of my horror artwork on the DVD. And I also showed, we had couches and tables and chairs galore, and we showed the films right there at the gallery show.
Nice.
So you could come, check out the art, pick up a copy of the DVD, go sit down. We had a popcorn, old-style popcorn maker, and you could just chill out and watch the movies. And it was a lot of fun. I hope to do another Creature Feature show within the next year or so. That'd be a lot of great time.
So here's a question for you. I mean, you're a huge zombie fan. You're known for your zombie art. Do you have a zombie plan?
My zombie plan is to keep traveling as long as I can. If I don't get to see the world now because I work too much, I'll get to see the world after I don't have to work at all anymore. I might be running for my life.
You're not going to hunker down.
No, I'm going to treat it like a vacation, like a big, long vacation.
Eventually you're going to get bitten anyway, so...
Right, exactly. So I might as well see as much of the planet as I can while I'm running from zombies.
All right, well, so where are some spots that you're gonna go visit? You know, quick and snapping pictures, you know, while you're dodging a biter,
right,
you know?
Right.
Where do you
Asia.
Go?
I have to travel to Asia for work all the time. Anyway, I go like 4 times a year. So I don't need to see Asia. I'm done with Asians and Asia.
I'm thinking Mount Rushmore would be great.
That would
with
be cool.
Some zombies.
I haven't even seen half of my own country. I've seen all of China, but I haven't seen a lot of the U.S. So I got to cover the U.S. tour first, and then I got to go to Europe, do the Europe tour, and check that out. Canada, nah, that's not necessary.
By the way,
but you go there, there's no zombies. I mean, there's no one there anyways. So.
You're probably right. I could probably just build just a cabin, and, you know.
Sorry, Canadian listeners.
Nothing against it, but I'm from Michigan. I've already seen Canada. It looks just like where I live.
I can see it from my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so now, are you a superhero fan?
Yes, big superhero fan. I'm an X-Men nerd, mostly.
Awesome. All right, well,
Marvel,
then
pretty much exclusively nerd.
Well, then let's ask you this. If you can kill any one character and they stay dead forever, who's it going to be?
Oh, and they stay dead forever.
Yeah, we didn't.
So
give you any...
this has really sprung on me. It's not a very fair question.
No, we don't give any warning.
So you had to have someone that come to mind. You're thinking, oh God, yeah, I'd kill him
or her.
Well, to be honest, it's mostly villains, like annoying villains that I never thought were that great to begin with. Like
Mole Man,
he could go for sure.
Yeah,
there's some pretty. It's tough. I don't want to pick old school villains because I've seen some old school villains make awesome comebacks, like the Vanisher. Really, really old school villain. One of the very first X-Men villains there ever was. He's a super badass character now.
Yeah.
I really like him, actually, quite a bit. You know, honestly, I think Pyro is a total one-trick pony.
And
that we could totally do him off because it could make a good book. and you'd be fine without having him in the future.
All right, last question.
Well,
then.
Well, wait. Before we jump onto that one, how do you want to kill him? Giant fire extinguisher.
I think it would have to be Iceman. I think he would have to. It would have to be the most brutal freezing ever shown. We would need like an internal organ diagram of each of his organs shutting down one at a time as they're being frozen.
Actually, I was just thinking, like, freeze all of his blood and watch it like poke through his arms like needles. That'd be very cool. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Because it all expand and bust all his vessels.
I think you got your next drawing that you might have to be doing now.
They're work that out.
Tell somebody next time they come up and ask you to draw something, go, you're going to pay me money and I'm going to draw Pyro getting frozen. Because you don't do anything for free.
Right.
So, last question for you. If you could take any two superpowers and mix them, two superheroes and mix them together, who would they be?
Two superpowers and mix them together?
Yep.
Two specific heroes or just the powers?
Yeah, the heroes. Yeah. And you mix them and then they get both.
It would have to be Wolverine and Nightcrawler. Because as most people think, Wolverine's pretty much unstoppable now. He would be so much more efficient if he was able to teleport.
See, it's funny because I mixed Wolverine with Northstar to give him flight and super speed as well.
Yeah, that's pretty similar.
So, yeah, but I think the teleporting is way better because he just pop-schnicked.
Yeah.
He'd be no, bam-schnicked.
That would actually give him a good shot at Magneto, I think. So that'd be
but would the sulfur smell, would that fuck up his hyper sense of smell?
My nose is burning all the time now.
It's his one weakness.
Nice. All right. Well, Josh, we thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the show and everything you've done for us as well.
People can check out my website if you get a chance. I got a lot of big products coming out. JoshuaWarnerArt.com or AsFallLeaves.com. Both of them will take you to the same place. But there's also a blog, Facebook, all that good stuff. I just got signed on to a comic book project 2 days ago, so there'll be news about that really soon.
Awesome.
Always doing sketch card sets, so come check them out.
And listeners, we'll have them all linked on our webpage.
He's already in the artist alley.
Oh, yeah. So. You can go to Drunk on... You don't need to go to my site. Just go to Drunk on Comics, and you'll see me there.
Exactly. So, all right. Cool. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Peace.
So, Josh decided to combine the superpowers of Wolverine, Snake, and Nightcrawler, so bamf. I think he just likes the sound effects of those two. But it reminds me that that is a pretty sweet combination, and for a while, I think when Wolverine was being controlled by the hand, wasn't he teleporting around killing people?
He might have been, yes.
So, yeah, that is a pretty deadly and awesome combination. Nice choice, Josh.
All right, next on our docket, we got Ryan Lee and Chris Muez. Ryan is an artist, and Chris is a writer.
And when you put the two together, a writer and an artist, you get comic books.
Yep. Particularly, both these guys are working on The Naturals online webcomics, so you guys should check that out. But let's hear what they had to say.
All right, guys. This is Derek with Drunk on Comics. We are live recording here at Detroit Fan Fair. With us today, my buddy Tony, as always.
Hello.
And we have Ryan Lee and Chris Muez, and they're going to kind of fill us in a little bit on what they have going on for their current new project. How you doing, guys?
Good. Great. Awesome. Thanks.
So tell us about the new project.
Go ahead, Chris. So Ryan and I are working on a webcomic right now called The Naturals. It takes place in between World War I and World War II. There's a group of superpowered people that mysteriously got powers. So the reason why Germany and all those guys got their asses handed to them in World War I was they didn't have a natural to fight on their side.
Ah.
So now there's this German scientist whose goal is to go out and try to, like, kill the naturals to try to dissect them so he can obtain their powers so they can turn the tide in World War II.
And obviously it doesn't work.
We're going to rewrite history.
we're going to take a second while they're shouting over us because this is live recording at conventions.
Right.
It happens. It's always fun. You never know what's going to happen, Tony.
You never know.
There you go. Yeah, see, we're dumb. All right, so how did the idea come about? I mean, where did you guys, you know, come up with it?
This is Chris's idea originally.
And Chris, you're writing.
Yes.
And Ryan, you're drawing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yep.
Just a couple years ago, I kind of started getting into the indie comics, kind of getting a little bit bored with your everyday, you know, Capes comics with the big two. And after seeing a bunch of indie stuff that was coming out, I kind of wanted to try it myself and see what I could come up with.
Nice.
I actually met Ryan at a signing up in Traverse City.
Cherry Capital Con.
Yeah, it was one of the C3 events.
Yeah, okay.
And I saw his portfolio, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. And he was new to the area. He moved up there from down here in Detroit. And then we just started hanging out and started working on the comic.
Nice.
So starting on this comic, is it something that you already have, like, a set? You already see what the ending is, or are you just going to let it kind of originate and just unfold as it goes?
Probably a little bit of both. I have, like, a rough idea of what I want to have, you know, do with it. But we'll flesh out the idea or the details later.
Now, are you going to let it run then as long as you can, or will there be, a dead set ending?
I kind of have a dead set ending with this story arc, I guess you could call it. I don't want to spoil too much with how the powers work, because that could lead into other stories.
Right. You know, and we'll spoil a little bit. There's a lot of tentacles. Maybe. We don't know. We haven't even seen it.
There could be.
And giant robots and aliens and none of that.
Yeah.
If that's what people like, I'm sure we could find a way to squeeze some tentacles in there.
Now, we're gonna try and hold off 1 second here again. All right, so Ryan, how did you get into drawing?
I've drawn since I was really, really young. Basically done it my whole life. I went to art school. I worked at an illustration design studio when I first graduated from school. I ended up being in advertising for a couple years, but we moved and I started getting back into like full-time art, and now I freelance and do illustration myself, and I've done storyboards in the past. So comics has always been a part of my life. I've read comics and Cracked and Mad magazines since I was a little kid. That's like my formative training.
That's kind of what I was wondering, you know, and pun intended, what was the draw to comics, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just love the storytelling aspect of it, and right now it seems like there's a new golden age of comics going on. There's no art style that is dominant. It seems like you can do anything right now, and people, as long as the story is good and it's interesting, people are likely to, you know, at least give it a look.
Yeah.
You know? And with web comics, it's a whole new, a whole new realm.
Well, and we've had the great conversation that, you know, good art can actually, you know, help a kind of pour story along, and a great story can kind of help pour art along. Now, from what I've already heard, I think you guys got the best of both worlds, so, you know, it's great. Where can people go see this? I mean, is there anything that they can see anything right now, or?
We have our ash cans with the first 5 pages that we're selling here at the con, but hopefully within the next month or so, we'll have our website up and running.
It's thenaturalscomic.com. It hasn't launched yet, probably in a couple weeks, but we're going to have a Facebook page, which we're just about to put up. We're going to start putting up some, you know, like production art and just little updates on there on Facebook. And you can find us on Twitter as well, where we're always posting art and little comments about it. Mine's at Riley Art. And
I'm at Muessines.
All right, and we'll put links up on our website, you know, for the listeners at home. And then as soon as we get, you know, your websites up and running, we'll put something on there, too, for you, too. So what else, you know, I mean, besides this book, what else are you guys working on that people might want to know about? Or what have you done in the past that people should know about if they haven't heard of you before?
I'm currently working on another webcomic that we just collected the first year's worth. It's called Terrabads. It's about a group of really bad villains with bad powers. They kind of have the heart to be big villains. The main characters, when he gets angry, he yells he has the right to bear arms, and his arms turn into bear arms.
Awesome.
There's another giant or guy with giant hands called the Clap, and he says you can never catch the Clap, or you'll never avoid the Clap.
That is awesome.
It's, you know, I saw a great sign at a karaoke bar. It said, everyone who sings here gets the Clap.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we just recently got funded on Kickstarter, so we've got those. They can be found on 2for1comics.com. And I'm working on that with artist Jeff Manley.
Okay. Are you doing? By the way, are you doing a Kickstarter on the other project too, or no?
We'll wait a while.
Okay. And yeah. Ryan, what else have you done? You know, that people can.
I've worked on a few small things here and there. I do a lot of like freelance illustration too to keep the money coming in. You know, but I worked on an anthology book called Matinee Eclectica with a writer named Ryan Schroat out of Iowa. A really talented guy. He's always busting his butt and coming up with new properties and stuff like that. So, I'm working on that and this book right now. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What do you think is the greatest thing you've written or drawn? Like, that's your favorite? And it doesn't have to be for, maybe it's just your own personal thing. You did a Shakespearean play, or you decided to draw, I don't know.
I don't
Where's
think
Waldo?
I've written my favorite thing yet.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty hard on my art. So I like to think that I'm getting better every time I do another page for Naturals, but I'll let you guys be the judge of that. I don't know.
we've had a running question on the show for a while, and just amongst ourselves when we sit back and drink way too many beers. If you could, you know, combine any two superheroes, what would it be and why?
That's a rough one.
I know, and we aren't fair because we gave you
any
no preference.
Two superheroes. What do you think?
Plastic Man has to be one of them.
Plastic Man and Elongated Man.
Yeah, let's just combine Reed Richards. Yep,
Reed Richards. I mean, we've had some fun ones in there, you know, and some serious ones too. But all right, now last question: if you can kill forever any one character in comics, who's it going to be?
Kill forever.
Forever.
Who do I really hate?
Yeah.
Cyclops.
All right. Yep.
You hate Cyclops?
I hate Cyclops. Yep. He's right. A whiny bitch.
Yep. He's a little whiny. He's a little whiny. I try to think of someone I just cannot stand. I even like the corny characters, so that's the problem.
See, the corny characters are better than the ones like Cyclops, because he's on our list too.
Yeah. Is he? I don't. I cannot think of one offhand. I mean.
Storm?
Storm?
Jubilee?
Storm?
Jubilee? Everybody hates Jubilee.
Jubilee? Yeah, she's kind of lame, isn't she?
Yeah.
Isn't she like a vampire now?
All right, it's official. You want to kill Jubilee.
Oh, yeah, I do. You're right. You just reminded me. Yeah.
Next thing, he's going to get an offer to start writing the new Jubilee book.
I love
You're
Jubilee.
You're going to listen to this
I'm just
podcast.
Kidding. I do love Jubilee.
Yeah. I love anyone that pays me. Wait, what? All right, guys. Tony, do you have any other questions?
No, that's it. I mean, awesome. I could go into many. What's your zombie plan?
Do you have a zombie plan? Yes or no?
No. No, I don't.
Oh,
but you know what? I did get a katana blade as a groomsman gift this year. So
nice.
That would probably be my weapon of choice.
Nice. Yeah.
I have that in
yeah.
my studio now.
But without any zombie plan, you guys are biters. So
yeah, you're right.
I think with that we can wrap it up. We will be putting a link up so you guys can find their website. You can find them on Twitter. Facebook page is coming soon as well. And if you guys have any questions, you know, always contact us direct and we'll put you in touch with them. So, all right. So, Chris, Ryan, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
See you guys later.
Thanks, all right, guys.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of Ryan's work on The Gutters. It's one of my favorite parody sites of comic book industry.
I know, a lot of news from them, too. The show definitely enjoys seeing some of that and getting some of our news. So,
yeah.
Definitely check out his work. And,
yeah, check out Ryan Lee and Chris Muez when you guys get a chance.
Last but not least, we got to talk to one other writer.
Dirk Manning.
Yes. Normally on the most of these interviews have all been artists.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice when you get to talk to a couple of the writers and see their standpoints.
Yeah, Dirk actually shared the backspace of our booth. Well, I should say our backs backed up to each other.
So I'm sure he had a great time at the convention listening to our ramblings.
And wishing he could have some of our beer.
Yes, so we then got to sit down with him finally and get to hear a little bit more about what he's up to.
Boop. All right, where are we at?
We're at Detroit Fan Fair.
Detroit!
And we got another interview for you. with us today is Matt and Tony. And
we got Dirk Manning coming.
Yes, I'm here. I was coming, now I'm here.
Dirk, why don't you take a couple minutes and let our listeners in on what you do.
My name is Dirk Manning. I am the writer and creator of Nightmare World, Tales of Mystery, and Love Stories About Death, all from Image Comics Shadowline. Also, as of this weekend, officially, I'm so excited I can't take it, in my hand right now, you can hear it, like, hear that, people? Hear that? That's a book. It is the Right or Wrong book. I've done a column for Newsarama for going on about 6 years now called Right or Wrong, and I now have, as of Detroit Fanfare, Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics, which is a collection of a lot of the early columns
from Newsarama. That's right, as in writing.
Yeah, W-R-I-T-E, because I'm witty.
It's a pun.
It's something. But I've done this column for Newsarama for about 6 years about how writers who can't draw can go about networking with artists and creating artists. And I've got a 216-page monster book here that is officially in print through Transfusion. So that's what I do.
Excellent. Where can our listeners find more information about you?
I am on the Facebook. I am on the Twitters. I finally just launched a revamped website, DirkManning.com. Or people can go, Google me, I guess. The best way. Not a euphemism.
And but we'll also put a link to his work on our website.
Yeah. So what got you into this?
Into writing comics? Comics are awesome. Harvey Picard said it best. Comics are words and pictures, and you can do anything with words and pictures. I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories. I love reading. I love writing. And comics are, by leaps and bounds, the most engaging, dynamic way and ultimately challenging and rewarding ways of telling stories. I'm not a spandex guy, per se. I do like good books of any genre. But what I like about comics is that you can tell any types of stories with them. It's like a movie without a budget. You can do anything. Nightmare World is primarily short horror stories, all these standalone stories that weave into one giant narrative. I'm looking at some of the other books here from Shadowline, for example. I mean, we got horror books, children's books. I mean, you name it. You can just do any genre. Comics are fantastic. It's just the greatest, I would argue, as a guy that likes to read and likes to write and likes to collaborate with talented artists, it's the greatest medium to tell stories on Earth.
What books are you reading right now?
Comic-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You put me on the spot after like 3 days. What am I reading right now? Shadowline is really firing on all cylinders right now. They just put out a really cool graphic novel called Rebel Blood that Riley Rossmo illustrated that's really good. Shadowline put out Peter Panzerfaust. Let me think. What else? Big Dark Horse guy. I like stuff like The Goon as well. Is one of my favorites. BPRD, I think, is one of the most underrated books on the shelves right now. That book is just ridiculously awesome. Big Walking Dead fan. Big Invincible fan. Mainly pretty much everything I'm reading is Image and Dark Horse, honestly. Let's create our own books.
Being a big Walking Dead fan, a fan of horror, do you have a zombie plan?
To survive?
Yeah.
Of course.
If the zombies rose right now, could you put that plan into action?
Of course.
All right. He's a true believer then.
No, you have to be able to do that. I'm not going to give away my plan because you guys are like licking your lips
like that. You can't give details.
I teach one of the things I do along with writing comics, I teach martial arts, and I tell people, man, I'm going down fighting and zombies are soft. So Gary can't bite with no teeth.
So who would you say out there right now in the comic book world is the second best writer? Obviously yourself being number one.
I'm not number one. Alan Moore's there's Alan Moore and there's everybody else.
Gotcha.
Alan Moore's like the god of writing comics. Writers I really enjoy. Kirkman does some really cool stuff. I really like Eric Powell. I'm a big Garth Ennis guy. I like Garth Ennis a lot. He's a one. I tell people, honestly, Garth Ennis is a one-trick pony, but it's a hell of a trick. I just really like what he does. I like Dave Lampham quite a bit. Those are probably some of the big ones, honestly. As far as strict writers go, Curtis Weave's been doing a lot of really cool stuff for Shadowline. He's also very good. But those are my big guns that I usually go to are like your Alan Moore, Garth Ennis, Lampham, guys like that.
I know it's usually the artist's job, filling in the backgrounds and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. as a writer, you have a lot of input in what they're putting in there. Do you ever specify some little Easter eggs or little things for your friends to find in comics in the background?
Oh, absolutely. Like with Nightmare World, for example, it's each volume is 13 standalone stories. Each story is a totally different genre of horror. And each story is written by me and drawn by a different artist or art team. So what we end up doing is, over the course of the trilogy of trade paperback so far, all these standalone stories all weave into one giant story. So it's cool. So, like, there's Easter eggs in different stories that start to tie the other ones together that different artists are drawing. They all start riffing off each other, jamming off each other. But, yeah, absolutely. By the time you get, like, a Nightmare World, by the time you get to the third trade paperback, the whole backstory comes out, and you start to see that the artists have all been secretly kind of sometimes in on it, sometimes sometimes not, about how the, these different characters all interrelate into this one big giant story. But
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big Easter egg guy. I love doing stuff like that.
That's always awesome. We've talked to a lot of artists and not a lot of writers. And usually the question we pose to them is what's something they would love to draw. What if you could pick any series right now that you that you've just thought of in your head, like I've always wanted to just write a Spider-Man, you know, something, or is there like a superhero that you wish you could just write a storyline for?
As far as a corporately owned character, I mean, if I want to write stuff, I write it.
Yeah, true.
But I really got to live out my dream stuff with like Nightmare World and stuff like that. But if far as a corporately owned character goes, I've never been shy about the fact that I would love, love to do Midnight Suns for Marvel. Ghost Rider and Man-Thing and Morbius and Santana and all that, and just wreck it. It just it makes my pants get a little tighter every time I think about it. But someday I'm not a I just did my this is my first ever work for hire work. I did a short story for Xenoscope in their Grim Fairy Tales Halloween Special 2012. That's one of the only work for hire stuff I've ever done. I don't do work for hire. I create my own comics. I do my own stuff. I work with Image. It's cool. That being said, like Xenoscope does real cool stuff. I wanted to work with Raven Gregory. I did a the origin of Jack the Lantern for the Grim Fairy Tales universe. I would give a lot to get to play with the Midnight Suns and just do a nice, cool, balls to the wall horror Midnight Suns thing for Marvel. That would be a lot of fun.
We'd love to read it.
Posing question: if you could kill off any superhero for good, who would it be?
Who to keep dead? Ooh, see, I don't.
Yeah, I know you said you weren't big on.
I mean, I'm familiar with it, and it's not that I don't like superhero books, but I just enjoy creator-owned stuff a lot more because in corporate books, the status quo stays the same.
Well, and they get just resurrected every time. That's kind of why we pose this question. Yeah. Like, who would you keep dead?
Uncle Ben.
He stayed dead.
So far. Uncle Ben. Gwen Stacy, I think, stayed dead, I think. A death that really changed the core of a... If it had to be a death that really changed the core of a character... I mean, I guess they do cool stuff with Bucky now, so I don't know if maybe it was the right call to bring him back. I don't know, you know, I mean...
Yeah, there's some that have worked, some that haven't.
Yeah. I wish I had a witty answer right now, and I'm struggling.
All right, then let's skip this one. What if you had two... Could take two superhero powers and combine them to make your own superhero? What to...
I mean, or even from some of your own work, you can combine Nightmare... undead necromancer powers, and you could put them together. I mean, you could do that because you're the writer.
I have that. You just haven't read my stuff. That's not the issue. If I could have a superpower, I would want teleportation. Cut down on drive time.
Oh, yeah.
Safe teleportation.
There you go.
Yeah.
None of this crazy stuff where, like, the fly and I get, like, turned into, like, a giant squid monster or something like that.
Yeah, I think teleportation would just be the... I mean... Be in Cancun one day, Hawaii the next.
Right. Well, even like, man, I gotta go to work. Bamf. Yeah. All right, here I am. Oh, right. Man, no pants. Bamf. Bamf. Okay, I'm back. Oh, there we go.
Well, Dirk, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, man, thank you guys.
And for listeners at home, Dirk has had to listen to us throughout the entire weekend because his booth is right behind our booth, and that he has heard our drunken ramblings. And
you guys have had to hear me pitching Nightmare World and everything else all weekend, so it evens out. I'm still trying to think of a superhero that died that should stay dead. Jean Grey. There
we go. Right.
Jean Grey.
Stay
dead.
Well, listeners, this is Tony and Matt from Drunk on Comics. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
And that's our interview with Dirk Manning, writer primarily for the series Nightmare World.
Yep.
But he also has a really good book for aspiring comic book writers called Right or Wrong. That's W-R-I-T-E, as in like a writing utensil and, you know, when you write things. Right or Wrong by Dirk Manning. You guys should check that out, especially if you're a big fan of comics.
Well, it was also interesting to hear how the writers go through the process, and that book, especially, whether it's for even writing comic books or anything, really is...
Even if you don't want to be a writer yourself, but you just have appreciation for comics, it's really good to know how the artist created if you want to be a connoisseur.
So pick it up. All right. Well, folks, that is it for all the interviews we did at Detroit Fan Fair. We are looking forward to the next time we get to sit down with some writers and some artists and ask them some questions.
And hopefully next time they'll buy us beers.
Anyways, folks, we will talk to you later. Cheers. God's a mother, baby, the brothers, and arms out of babies will soon become men. Women will find them, be lost or behind them, but that is not now. That will be then, that is not now. That will be there. Mary, Mary, are you in love with him? Is he the one? Mary, Mary, run from the moon and escape to the sun.
Escape to the sun, father and daughter and mother.